Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Best of new inventory anywhere. Fabulous wide array of pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous service department, great sales staff. Customer service means everything to them because it means everything to you. It is Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to have you with us on this beautiful day. Matt, a bit under the weather today and under the category of look who came crawling back, and I knew he would.
It was called the last name on the list. You remember the TV show Night Court?
Of course, Marky Post.
Right.
Harry Anderson, John Larroquette.
Harry Anderson plays the character Harry, of course, the judge. And he said, "How did you get to be judge?" "Well, I was the only one that was home on Sunday when they dialed through the list." That's where we're at. I was the only one left when they dialed through the list.
So with that, before we get to serious stuff, I'm going to give you 60 good IndyCar seconds.
Well, the only thing that's really going on right now is we're getting ready for the opener, but right now they're doing that virtual iRacing, which is what they had so much success with last year, but they're doing it just on the internet now. So, and I'm going to be honest with you, I hadn't watched it last week. I did not watch it last week at all. It's so virtual. I don't know what's going on other than Romain Grosjean coming over from F1. That's about all I know.
What about Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, well, he's supposed to be driving for Andretti Autosports. At least I thought that's who he was driving for. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm out of the loop, man. I know you're disappointed now.
Not particularly. All right, so...
but I appreciate the 60 seconds. I just, you know, I'm out of the loop a little bit. Get ready for the season opener.
Hopefully you'll have it. Sounds like you're going to.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's good. Get to talk to Dave probably before the week is out, I would hope. It's been awful for... I've felt awful... For Matt Leon, I felt awful for Doug, and I felt awful for you. And for Matt Leon, he broadcasts Penn football and basketball. He's had no season. The Ivy League didn't play at all.
They didn't do anything.
Bucknell had no fall season, so for you and Doug, that meant nothing. I mean, you had Shikalimi on Friday nights, and that worked out fine. But, you know, you're used to doing the Bucknell games, too. Of course, Doug... barely had a Bucknell basketball season. Then you're all geared up for last weekend for Bucknell Lafayette football. It's Lafayette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bucknell Lafayette football, and all of a sudden you get the word late. Nothing. I felt awful for you guys.
Well, it was funny. Doug said, are you all ready on Wednesday? I said, no, it's only Wednesday. I said, I'm working the basketball game tonight. And then I said, tomorrow night I'll work the football game and then call the basketball game on Friday, then we'll be all set. Well, Wednesday, basketball got canceled, so I'm like, all right, well, I don't have to work on that. I got the night off. Thursday, I'm thinking, all right, I'll work on the Bucknell game. I'll be all set. Maybe I'll even, you know, do a little bit of watch a little bit more of the last Lafayette game there. And because I saw the first half of it, I didn't see the second half. And then on Thursday, that got canceled. I'm like, all right, free weekend. Well, that's not what I planned.
Yeah, no, I felt bad for you guys.
And well, the
I
good news
awful,
is,
and,
though,
and I felt awful for the Shikalimi players. I mean, you have an opportunity like this, and all of a sudden, like, you get derailed.
And that's what broke my heart more than anything, was that these guys worked so hard, and they had such, I mean, everybody had an unusual season. I don't want it to sound like they were special in, you know, the way they had their season, but they were ready to play the first couple of games before the state shut down. They got shut down before that. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking mid-January, and I did the interview with Bill Ziegler, and Bill said, you know, we've had 13 practices. 13. Mm-hmm. He said, we usually have that many before the season starts.
Yeah.
And somehow they came up with, I think it was like 20 games out of 22.
Yeah. All right. We'll get into this a little bit more as the show goes, but part of doing this job and sitting in this chair is that you have to have the ability not only to stay up to date with what's going on, but you also have to have a memory and then the ability to follow up. You just can't be go to the next thing, and leave stuff in the rearview mirror. You can't do that. So I'm going to bring up two stories from the summertime, and I'm going to update both of them, because guess what? We're about to tell you things that none of you know. So let's go back to the summertime. On Facebook, the mother of Brady Feeney, an offensive lineman for Indiana, put out a post about that her son wasn't doing well with COVID. And there were deep concerns about myocarditis. Now, myocarditis, as we pointed out in a series of shows last summer, can be caused by COVID, yes. It also can be caused by a cold. It can be caused by the flu. It can be caused by Lyme disease. There's a long list. If it's viral, anything viral can cause myocarditis. And, of course, COVID is viral. But anything viral can cause myocarditis. She put out this plea on Facebook about him, as any loving mother would, and it really captured a lot of attention. And the Big Ten, in part, reacted to that with some of the decisions they made. The other one was Eduardo Rodriguez, the left-handed pitcher who in 2019 won 19 games for the Red Sox. He had myocarditis. You know, after 3 weeks, which is the normal time frame to see, hey, how are you after 3 weeks? He still didn't have it. He was run down. He didn't have it. You know, threw a few times, couldn't get above 85 miles an hour. They shut him down. Do any of you know how each one of them has done? Does anybody know? Of course you don't. There is not one person in this audience, I'll bet, that can tell us anything about either one of those guys. And that's not your fault. It's not your fault. So let's update how each one of them are doing. As we told you, that the normal recovery time frame, they like to check you on myocarditis about your progress about 3 weeks afterward. I did a lot of reading on this. I read directly from Johns Hopkins on the show, and I read directly from the Mayo Clinic on the show, directly. So not talking out of turn here. This is not, I mean, I'm ad-libbing information I already know, but I didn't sit here and just ad-lib stuff out of the air. We read directly from the Mayo Clinic website. We read directly from the Johns Hopkins website. They normally do a check after 3 weeks. Normal recovery time is anywhere from 2 months to 6 months. They like to lean more toward the 4 to 6 month area if you're an athlete. But you have usually an excellent chance at recovery. All right. Brady Feeney returned to practice in Indiana. Oh, no, not last week. Not at the start of spring practice. He returned to practice October 1st. He was on the sideline for the Penn State game on October 24th. Supposedly, I think the story about him came out in June, mid to late June. His mother put it on Facebook. So that's 3.5 months, 3.5 months after she put the story out on Facebook, he was back practicing at Indiana October 1st. He is now fighting for a depth position spot at guard for Indiana this spring. I hope he gets it. I'm rooting for him. Probably won't be a starter because they have both their starting guards back at Indiana, but he's fighting to be on that second line on the depth chart right now. Eduardo Rodriguez. He's the opening day starter for the Red Sox. He's already made several appearances over the last 17 days at spring training. Yesterday, he only went two innings, just didn't have it. He went 45 pitches, and he just had control problems. So what they did, he had gone five innings in his previous stint. He'd gone five innings his previous stint and pitched really well. This time he just didn't have control, so what they did was after two innings and 45 pitches, they took him out, and he did the rest of his work in the bullpen that day. They didn't just sit him down. He did the rest of the work in the bullpen to close out the day. He has made appearances, I think he's made four appearances, in the last 17 days. He's been named the opening day starter by Alex Cora. Again, did any of you know this? Anybody? And it's not your fault. It's not your fault that you don't know this. Because by my count, we're the first ones to follow up on it. You have to do these shows. You just can't sit there and do these shows and say, how long do you think LeBron's out? I'm sorry. You just can't do that for 4 hours a day. These items are important. It was important enough to be the dominant story for a period of time in the summer. If it's that important to be the dominant story during the summer, you have to have the ability to follow it up so that the audience knows how did it turn out. Well, what do you mean there's a good outcome? I didn't think there would be based on the story in the summertime. Both of them have good outcomes. Now, you're not surprised in listening to the show because on the show last summer, we went through piece by piece about this. We didn't just sit there and simply take the word of the Big Ten about this and what they were doing. No. That's why we went to the Johns Hopkins people. That's why we went to the Mayo Clinic to see what they do with this, how they treat it, what causes it, what's the length of recovery. Doesn't mean you can't have permanent damage. You can, like with anything. It doesn't mean that you can't have a setback where you're never going to get back into athletics. It is possible. There have been athletes over the years that have, let's face it, let's give you the ultimate awful story. I think probably, if you go back to 1990, Hank Gathers, you can probably trace that to myocarditis. In part. But that was 1990. They're checking for it now. Can careers end from it? Yes. But as we pointed out last summer, more often than not, from myocarditis, even as an athlete, you recover from it. It just takes rest and time. And the two prominent athletes, Brady Feeney of Indiana, which caused such a big stir within the Big Ten and probably had a lot to do with some of the decision-making of the past season, and Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox were the two primary individuals that were discussed about this. Brady Feeney was back practicing with Indiana October 1st. He is out there fighting right now to be on the second line of the depth chart in spring practice in Indiana. He's back up to 320 pounds. Eduardo Rodriguez pitched yesterday, went five innings in his previous start. He is the opening day starter for the Red Sox. Part of what you do with this job is you have to have the ability to not only talk about what is current, but you have to have a memory of a major issue and follow up on it. And it's disappointing when you have to teach students all the time that you have to teach them to do that because they don't have an example out there of how to do it. I mean, you watch SportsCenter. Anybody watch SportsCenter? Any stories on those guys? Anybody? Anywhere? College game day? No? Kind of forgotten? Sad. It's not fair to you, the viewer, either. You need the knowledge. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Lincoln Kia Hyundai, great new inventory, fabulous pre-owned inventory. Sales staff is going to work with you. Your budget means everything. Customer service means everything to them. And a fabulous service department. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Matt out today. We go deep into the bullpen. This is the equivalent of bringing in a position player to pitch the last two innings in a rout.
That is a great comparison there. That is a great comparison. I am the center fielder. No, not fast enough to be the center fielder. I'm the bat boy. I'm the bat boy that has just enough eligibility to play and finish off that 32-10 game.
You're more like Jose Canseco. Come on in, throw a couple innings.
But if being a Phillies fan, I've seen that more times than I care to ever see it in a Major League Baseball game.
Everybody does these
thank
days.
Thank goodness it doesn't happen anymore.
This will be the last year of pitchers hit.
You and I, when this show started for a long time, had long arguments about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say something that hurts to say.
I know, I won.
After watching it last year, I have to agree, I'm done with the pitcher hitting now.
Here's the issue that you have for the upcoming season. It's quite simple. It's obvious that this is probably it. But you're going to have pitchers doing something they haven't done in 19 months. They haven't hit in a game in 19 months. I mean, none of them hit last year. I mean, the pitchers don't hit in spring training. They get their innings in, then they get the heck out. I mean, you have pitchers that are going to go to the plate this year that have not been to the plate in 19 months. That's the part to me that doesn't quite seem fair in all this. You played a season last season, but it was with the DH, which I understand. And it was the right thing to do. But now to ask them in the National League to come back and hit for the first time in 19 months. I think you're... That's not comfortable. How about that? That's not comfortable. Especially when, you know, hitters, they all got the hit in August, September, and into October. So July, you know, late July, August, and September, and in early October, they got the hit. The pitchers didn't. And I think that is going to be an issue in the upcoming season. The collective bargaining agreement in Major League Baseball runs out December 1st. I think November 30th at midnight it runs out. They've got a lot to negotiate. Two of the key items of negotiation will be universal DH, and the next item that needs to be negotiated is expanded playoffs. Now, how you divvy up the money is going to be, in the end, what is going to cause either an agreement or a lockout or a strike. So we all know it's going to be how the money is divvied up. We know that. But expanded playoffs will be part of it. What percentage do the players get from an expanded playoff? Because if they were to expand the playoff this year under the current basic agreement, they don't get the extra money. That was their issue. So the DH stayed in this year because it was tied to the expanded playoff. So moving forward, I see an expanded playoff. I see a DH. But the players are going to have to financially benefit from an expanded playoff. Once they get that settled, expect Major League Baseball, not immediately, but in a relatively short time frame, then expand by two teams. Doug in Wellsboro, only calling, I believe, to celebrate the return of the great man to the show.
There is no doubt about that at all. If Kevin's on, I have to call in.
This is a golden opportunity for you, Doug, to pry into the mind of a great man.
Kevin, Summer Olympics, go. Let me hear it.
I don't have the countdown. See, the postponement messed up my countdown. I mean, it messed up my countdown now.
They're not letting anybody in from outside the country.
No, it makes no sense to me. Like, wait a minute. If you're not letting any spectators in from outside the country, how come you're letting athletes in from outside the country, their coaches, their coaching staffs? It's a little confusing to me.
Are they going to lose money on this, I assume, or does anyone know?
They're going to lose billions.
They will
lose billions on it. To the point, Doug, where I think the door would be open for them to be a leading contender to host the 2032 Summer Olympics, because they would like to make it up to them.
I agree with that. Hey, Steve, thanks for providing those updates. I really appreciate that stuff.
Thank you.
I feel sometimes today the journalists, they want to push out their narrative on Twitter or something like that, but there's never any follow-up to, you know, the resolution of the cases or facts afterwards.
Well, and this is something, as somebody who has to teach this for a living, and I only teach one course, and I teach it a couple days a week. But you want to sit down and I try to get the students to think differently about what they're seeing. In other words, as I told them in yesterday's lecture, I said, doing a talk show, because we're up to the talk show segment now. We've already done a sports cast, a field report, one play-by-play. Now we're doing talk shows this week. And I said, look, there are times where you have to do the obvious low-hanging fruit segments. I mean, you have to. I mean, it's what's expected. It's the right thing to do. I said, but I want you to think beyond that, because the audience deserves more than low-hanging fruit. I mean, that's how I look at it.
I agree that there's never any follow up anymore on some things like that. Hey, last thing, Kevin.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
FOULED. Explain yourself. Doug Fowler.
That is my football partner on basketball, my friend.
Okay.
There is no debate. There is no debate when Doug calls a game if there is a foul. You know it. It is clear. It is concise, and it is spelled out.
Okay. Well, at least you didn't see it before it's happening. I know an announcer who said, I saw it before it was happening, and
No. He saw what I saw. That's the line you're thinking of.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he saw what I saw. That's right.
Doug, it's just, again, at the holidays, we have a nice production on that. You know, do you see what I see?
It was a nice remix.
He saw what I saw. I'm brilliant.
Well, Kevin, you're doing a great job. The show hasn't been this good in weeks.
Oh, thanks for calling, Doug. It was great to hear you.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Doug. Look at you just pumping the ratings up just by merely showing up.
Doug is by far not a first-time caller, but he is a long-time listener, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, Birdsong has already texted me during the show, as a matter of fact. Man, you didn't come out so well. All right, so... You see, all he texted me was, the Asuut is back. I said, I knew he would come crawling back.
I'll get a text tonight. What do you think of Lafayette? I don't know, Doug. I haven't seen that game. I'm waiting another day or two yet.
Oh, jeez.
I want it to be fresh.
Okay, there's a difference between wanting to be fresh and being unprepared.
It is a fine line.
You're flirting with it.
It is a fine line.
Oh, now that's something else to talk to the students in my class. You know, that was another point of emphasis yesterday, too, was you can't... I said, I want you to have a great time doing it. Have fun doing the show. I said, I want you to have fun when you're doing a play-by-play. I want you to have fun when you're doing a sportscast. I want you to have fun when you're covering an event. I said, because sports is supposed to be fun. I said, I want you to have fun with it. I said, but you can only have fun with a talk show. You can only have fun broadcasting a game if you are fully prepared. I said, you'd be amazed how much fun you can have when you put in the work. And that's I told them. I said, have fun with it. I said, the job is a blast. I said, but it's really a lot of fun when you're actually prepared and ready to do it. Yeah, so that's so you're trying to emphasize these, and it's a really terrific group of young people in the class. Terrific group. They work hard. They work very, very hard. All right. Yesterday, by the way, Doug, speaking of, Doug always wants to talk Penn State football, and obviously justifiably so. A quick follow-up on Kirk Ciarrocca, who had been the offensive coordinator. And he is now an analyst at West Virginia. So he's become an offensive analyst at West Virginia, so he's gone to Morgantown for that job. So that is what Kirk is doing right now. It keeps you alive in the profession. Kirk is a great guy, smart guy. I think he's a really good offensive mind. He'll help out West Virginia down there, and he will get himself a full-time job out of it at some point. As for Penn State yesterday finished practice number 4. It was the second one that they've had in pads. When you have spring practice, it is 15 practices. 3 of them have to be without pads. So the first 2 were without pads. They're saving the 3rd one for later in the spring. So they went into pads for the first time on Friday. They were in pads yesterday for the 2nd time out of the 4 practices. And they went outside yesterday for the first time. The first 3 were all in Haluba Hall. Yesterday they went outside for the first time and worked out there. James really if at all possible, wants to be working outside. He wants to be out in the elements because that's what they're going to experience in games. For the most part, elements. And that's, you know, for the most part, obviously, are the elements of it. So they worked outside for the first time yesterday, and practice number 5 is tomorrow. Pro Day is Thursday. Here are the participants on Pro Day for Penn State Thursday. Pat Freiermuth, Will Fries, Michael Mennett, Jason Owe, Micah Parsons, Shaka Tony, Lamont Wade, and Steven Gonzalez. You're saying Steven Gonzalez. Steven Gonzalez last year was in camp with the Arizona Cardinals. Didn't pan out, so he wants to go through the pro day again and get himself on the radar so he can sign as a free agent with somebody. So Pat Freiermuth, Will Fries, Michael Mennett, Jason Owe, Micah Parsons, Shaka Tony, Lamont Wade, and Steven Gonzalez will be a part of Pro Day Thursday here at Penn State. Okay, let's take a break. Neil Coulong in the next half hour. We're going to talk about the Steelers. Steven Nelson, gone. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Oh, my goodness. I remember last couple of years ago at the holiday party how you moonwalked to this coming into the room. I thought it was quite an entrance.
Actually, I was walking into the wrong room. That was the problem. That's why I went in backwards. I thought I was going into a different room.
That explains the applause because it wasn't coming from our room.
See, there you go. That was pretty quick. I got to give you credit. That was pretty quick.
That's what's always bothered you about me.
People used to ask me, is your show scripted when you and Steve work? Because you're so... I said, no. Trust me, it's not scripted. I just can't keep up.
It's the way it is. You are, after all, the suit.
I am the Ed McMahon Johnny Carson.
I actually had somebody email me. I think they emailed me. Ooh, I like this. All right. Actually got a good response on a question Jack and I had. Like it. I actually had somebody email me. They wanted to know who the suit was. I hope you didn't mind about me giving out your address. All right, so...
Does clarify some things.
What? Guys seem normal to me. Wasn't asking where I lived. I was more than happy to give out yours. Was it bad that I also put directions in?
No, it was the fact that you gave him the GPS coordinates.
In today's modern society, you have to be able to use modern tools to make sure that people can get where they need to go. And by the way, is your son still otherwise known as Suit Light?
Yes.
On track to get married?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, that did not come to fruition.
So we're back on the trail, are we?
He is, and he said dating in COVID times is not easy.
Oh, my goodness. He was running staff meetings. All right, so... yeah. There we go. Oh. Jack and I had a question, and we got an answer I didn't quite expect, which was really good. All right. So that's a good thing. I'll talk to Mr. Hamm about that later. Once again, because of the restraining order, we can't bring your name up. All right, so I have to admit, you lead the league. I talked to Cale Sanderson. He was the first name that came up. All right, he's not still there, is he? Yeah, he is.
Actually, the best Jack story was years before you and I started doing the show. Even was when I first met you. Shiklemead started 0-4, and I went out to the game and saw you guys doing the tailgate show, and you did a break, and you came over, and we were talking. I said, hey, they finally won a game. They said, and you go, did they carry you off on their shoulders? I said, no. But it was very exciting. I think I actually lost my voice. And I didn't know this until about a year later when I saw you again, because we didn't see each other that much at that point or talk that much.
Right.
But a year later, you said, guess what Jack said to me afterwards? And I said, what? He said, who is that guy? He said, I had to explain to him the whole situation and how I knew you. And I'm like, oh. He goes, oh, okay. So he said, and you said, I got to figure out a way to explain this so Jack understands. And he said, at that time, Shikellamy was really struggling. And you said, well, it's like when you played, Jack. It would be like being the play-by-play guy for the New Orleans Saints when you were playing. And Jack's like, oh, right,
oh,
that
wow.
makes sense.
I can
yeah.
relate, sure, yeah. Archie Manning running for his life. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hey, by the way, there is one more coaches show. It's coming up on Thursday night. The way the calendar worked out, I mean, we are not just inventing coaches shows. Hey, they have a new basketball coach, so we're going to have a show at the end of March. No. Because of the way the calendar worked out with Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we had to extend two on the end of the season. That's how it worked out. So we got the last one for this season. Then there's actually supposed to be one in April, too. Anything to keep me off the streets. That's the key. By the way, how is the Chutter?
When I last used it last spring, it was still pretty good.
So it's where it should be, in a bag.
News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.